Will the GOP survive their betrayal of President Trump following his so-called loss during the 2020 election? Is nothing short of spectacular. I mean, they were so fast. It was as if they were just waiting for, begging for, dying for it. Well, they may actually be dying for it. And I'm not talking, that's not some threat. Don't report me to the arbiters of truth out there in big tech land. I'm not saying that, that anybody should go kill them. I'm using that figuratively, okay? What kind of world are we in where I actually have to take note? When I say that they're dying, you know, it's not that they're physically dying. I'm not promoting violence. I'm saying that the Republican Party is dying. It is. It is dying. There's no other way to look at it. It's meeting its demise. Can it be revived? I think so. Should it be revived? Maybe not. Today on Special Ops. Knock Report, Freedom First Network. Gosh, I've got so many names. The show's getting picked up across the board. I love it. It's a testament to you guys for watching. But today we have a special guest with us. We have Jeff Crowear, C-R-O-W-E-R-E. Gosh, God, it's such a great name. And of course, if you couldn't tell, he's down there in Louisiana. He's been with the Trump campaign. Both times he's been with the state GOP. He has a radio show, a daily show. He's everywhere. He's on town hall. He's working across the board. So we will bring Jeff on in a second. Let me get my earpiece in and we will be ready to go.
You're listening to JD and Tammy Rucker as we deliver the NOQ report, or as we like to call it, the Knock Report. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Knock Report, the NOQ report. I am your host, JD Rucker, and I am unfortunately not joined once again today by my lovely, brilliant, talented, and utterly spectacular in every possible way, co-host and wife, Tammy. I am, on the other hand, joined by a very special guest, a man who, you know, when I first started looking up Jeff Crowear, who is with us today from Louisiana, I was a bit surprised that he's not everywhere. I mean, here's somebody who is, he's in radio, okay? He writes for some of the publications that I truly admire. He's been all over the place for 20 years, you know, pushing conservatism, writes books, and you know, I'm sitting here, it's like, oh, well, okay, so, yeah, let's talk. I feel, it's like, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm going to talk to this guy, and I'm going to be, you know, my standard aggressive self, and it's like, oh, my gosh, this guy knows a heck of a lot more than me about pretty much everything. Jeff Crowear, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing great, JD. Thanks for having me. Thanks for the warm introduction, and, you know, of all the years, I've been doing this 22 years now, this is probably the most interesting and the most challenging time ever for someone in my business, so it's a good time for us to be talking. It really is.
It definitely is. You know, we, as I think people who've been participating in Republican politics for so long, we have a tendency to, you know, make assumptions about how things are. And then you have this guy come along who broke everything, changed everything. President Trump, you know, he changed the paradigm. He changed the way that business was done. And then he was, in some cases, well-received, but in a lot of cases, not very well-received. What is your perspective on what happened? And what was your journey with the Trump campaign in 2016 and then again in 2020?
That's a great question, JD. I'm a lifelong Republican. I joined the party when Ronald Reagan was president, cast my first vote for Ronald Reagan, idolized Ronald Reagan, thought he was my hero, a conservative. I've always been a conservative. And after Reagan, I really became disillusioned with the Republican Party. You had a succession of moderate, big government, rhino nominees. And along comes Donald Trump, who really does represent my views, America First, talked in a way that I found compelling. So I was with him the day he came down the escalator, JD, on my radio show. I aired the entire speech. and was hit by abuse from all kind of people saying he was a clown, a joke. I was, ridiculous for giving him attention. There's no way he's going to get the nomination. No way. And just stuck with him. JD wound up being a co-chair for his campaign in Louisiana in 2016, wrote the book America's Last Chance about that election, and was a convention, delegate, went to the convention in Cleveland. It was my second time as a Republican delegate, but this time I was excited. I was truly excited about this candidate, and just been on board as a supporter ever since. But I have to tell you, I think he has been treated horribly from the beginning by his fellow Republicans and, of course, the establishment of both parties, the deep state, the Democrats. They've all been out to get him. And I've never seen anyone as mistreated as Donald Trump in the world of politics, never.
Do you think that this mistreatment, this is probably an obvious answer, but just for everybody's sake, do you think that this mistreatment is going to come back to haunt those who are doing the mistreating on the Republican side?
I hope so. I hope so. I'd like for them to pay a political price for how they've treated him. And they have the allegiance, I think, to their fellow bureaucrats and their fellow DC swamp rats and folks that are up there in that little club. They don't have any allegiance to us. Call us the deplorables, the irredeemables, the people out here that supported him. Whereas the president, I think, did have a connection with the people. And he's a populist, whatever you want to call America First agenda. So they viewed him as a threat. And just look, JD, at what they did to him from the beginning. They leaked, they sabotaged, they investigated, they harassed, they impeached, not once, but twice. And now we're getting ready to have this show trial coming up, this kangaroo court, which is an outrage.
You know, some people have been saying that this second impeachment, in the House, sort of expected, it is what it is. But for it to go to the Senate, there needs to be some, I guess, payback. Some are even trying to convince them that, hey, guys, just let it go. At this point, it's not going to be popular with the American people. He's already out of office. What are you trying to do? It looks like they're still going to go forward. Do you think that this is out of revenge, or is this a tactical move to try to prevent him from running for office in the future? What are they doing? Why would they push this?
Both, JD. It's revenge for what he did, because they don't forgive him for the agenda that he tried to pursue. Because remember, his agenda, his America First agenda, was in direct opposition to their goals, their agenda, what they wanted. So they never forgave him for trying to pursue his platform and his promises to the American people. And then I think what they're trying to do is prevent him. They want to convict him. They can't remove him from office. He's already left. So they want to prevent him from running again in 2024, which will be, I think, their ultimate goal here. They don't want to have to be faced with Donald Trump again. So I think those are some of the goals that they have in doing this. They're the most tone deaf people in the world. 75 million people supported Donald Trump. A lot of these senators were elected because of Donald Trump. And if they turn their back on him, if they support this, then I think they've written the end of their political career.
That might not be a bad thing. Is there anybody you think kind of stands out? And I'm going to take away the obvious answer of Mitch McConnell. But is there anybody who stands out in the GOP as people that we should be looking at, perhaps, to primary as soon as possible, maybe even to push faster out of office within the GOP? I mean, we're going to go after the Democrats no matter what. But are there Republicans that need to be, I guess, taken out sooner?
Well, let's start in the House. The 10 that voted for impeachment, all of them need to be primaried. All of them need to be defeated. And Liz Cheney is number one on that list. And Kevin McCarthy, I don't have much use for him either, because he was critical of the president. He said the president should be censured. He doesn't want to get rid of Liz Cheney as number three in the Republican conference. So that goes to show you why so many people are disgusted with the Republican Party, because of their leadership. And then on the Senate side, I think 14 of the Republicans are up for re-election, or might be even more than that. And one of them is Lisa Murkowski. She has always been a thorn in the side of the president, always been a problem. So I would say she would be certainly one of them that should be primary. Sarah Palin, I think, would make a great senator from Alaska. And I would hope that she would maybe run against Murkowski. Unfortunately, Mitch McConnell just got reelected, and some of these other rhinos just got reelected. Pat Toomey, who's another rhino, he's going to be leaving. So we need to find a good conservative there in Pennsylvania. Ben Sasse, a never-Trumper, just got reelected. So Mitt Romney's got another 4 years, unfortunately. Bill Cassidy, our Louisiana senator who turned his back on the president, he just got reelected. So that's the problem. A lot of these guys, JD, get reelected time and time again because challengers can't defeat them because they don't have the money, the name recognition, and all these incumbents get their big money from all their corporate and special interest buddies in D.C.
Yes, they do. And I want to talk about that here in a moment, but I want to talk about you just for a second. You know, we'll get back to the future of the Bill Cassidys and the Lindsey Grahams and the Lisa Murkowskis of the world. But I want to talk a bit about you. You know, you are out there. Could you just take a minute? And not out there as like in like, oh, you're just way out there. I mean, out there as in you're getting your name out there and you're really becoming a staple within the conservative movement. Can you tell us a bit about what you're doing, you know, out in the world, sites and books and all that good stuff?
Thank you, JD. I have been writing for years for townhall.com, which is a good site that promotes free speech. And they're one of the many that are under attack. So I have a weekly column with them. I write for a local newspaper here in New Orleans called The Advocate. And write for a number of other sites around the country and also in Canada, write for the Canada Free Press and other sites that believe in liberty and believe in the First Amendment, free speech. Obviously, you know, we're under incredible assault. We're under incredible attack. My radio program's been on 22 years. We're facing all kinds of threats from the left that are trying to take us off the air. I've got the first hour on America's Voice. It's Real America's Voice network. And we're trying to build a network that is an alternative for people that are tired of CNN and Fox and all these other liberal networks that have been anti-Donald Trump. And, you know, just spend a lot of time trying to connect with all the people that listen, that watch. And we're finding that social media is deplatforming us, censoring us, shadow banning us, shutting us down. So I just gravitated over to Gab, and I'm hoping that's going to be a better alternative. I don't know if you've got any experience there, but I just went over there and hoping to get a platform that really appreciates free speech. And I'm also working on a follow-up book to America's Last Chance. That is about, you know, what we're facing today, which is an unprecedented assault, JD.
Unprecedented assault from every angle, for sure. You know, right. We're not just taking on, it would be one thing. Listen, if I'm a firm believer that if this was conservatives versus progressives on the political side, we've got the truth on our side. We've got facts. We've got all the good stuff. We can make it happen. The challenge is that we're not just going up against the progressives. You know, we're going up against the entirety of the Democratic Party, plus a good chunk of the Republican Party known as rhinos or Republican establishment, plus mainstream media, plus big tech, plus powers and principalities.
Right. The intelligence agencies, the FBI.
The deep state. Exactly.
The globalists, the special interests, Hollywood.
education system. We can rattle them off.
The universities. Right. Yes.
If it was just, it was a fair fight, you know what? But here's the thing. If it was a fair fight, then we could never lose. So this makes it more interesting, I guess. So you had asked about Gab or you'd mentioned that you're on Gab and I do have some experience with it. I want to do a quick recap for our viewers and listeners of, you know, Gab took on a very, very poor reputation, I guess, in the tech world back a few years ago, for based upon a couple of instances. And that's going to be the thing. Whenever there's free speech, or freer speech, we'll call it, there's going to be bad elements on there. Gab as a platform is not bad. Gab as a community, especially growing at anywhere from 100,000 to 500,000 new users a day following Twitter's purge, the people that I have yet to see anything on Gab that is less offensive than anything that Alyssa Milano
Alec Baldwin
or Alec Baldwin or right. The Ayatollah Khomeini. Okay, these guys truly. If, I mean, did you see what it wasn't the official Ayatollah's account, but it was one of the Ayatollah's account. It was their site account or whatever. Did you see what he posted yesterday or what they posted yesterday?
Was it a death threat against Trump?
Well, not just of course, but they did it in a way that was, you know, stayed technically within Twitter's realm of whatever terms of service. They basically said that, you know, Soleimani died and we're going to get our revenge on the person who killed them, as well as the people who ordered the killing. And then it's like an aerial view. You could see somebody golfing, very, you know, almost certainly President. Well, I mean, it was supposed to be President Trump. And then the shadow of a bomber over top of them. You know what I mean? The implication was clear. And of course, you know, that doesn't get you banned on Twitter if you post that.
That's a death threat.
It is a death threat. It's just, you know, again, they do it in a way, just like the whole thing with Twitter. They wouldn't remove a video of child pornography and child victimhood because it didn't quite meet their standard. And yet, you know, President Trump makes some mean tweets. Ah, just infuriates me. But the point is, with Gab, and if Parler ever comes back, and there's a couple of others, don't listen to the hype as far as, oh my gosh, it's only white supremacists out there on that. No, that's not true. Okay. Number one, the guy, I forgot his name now, but the guy who founded it is a Christian. Okay. And there's an understanding where free speech is not absolute. I don't think, you know, anybody's pushing that. You still can't go out on any of these platforms and say, hey, you know, here's my girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend's address, and she keeps her spare key under the third rock from the left. You know, you can't do that. You can't post child pornography, except apparently on Twitter. You know, you can't, there's a lot of stuff that you cannot do, and you can't do that on Gab either. But you should be able to speak your mind. And if you find elements that you don't like, you can block them. You don't have to be exposed to them, or you can argue with them. That's what discourse is about. That's what free speech is about. So where else, where can they find you as far as, so what is your handle on Gab and anywhere else you are right now?
It's just at Jeff Cruere, and that's JeffCrouere. I'm still on Twitter. Have a Facebook page still. It's Ringside Politics. And, you know, on LinkedIn and various other platforms. But I really have been thrown in Facebook jail over and over and over again, shadow banned, and just faced incredible censorship. And that's why I'm hoping, and we'll see what happens, by going on to Gab. I was about to go on to Parler, and then they were, of course, blown up. But, you know, it's just to talk about what happened to President Trump. I mean, all he said was for people to peacefully go to the Capitol and protest, peacefully and patriotically. He didn't say commit violence. He didn't say break in. He didn't say assault police officers. He didn't in any way encourage violence, incite people. And he has been treated like he's a criminal. He's lost contracts. He's lost his golf tournament. He's been kicked off all the platforms. They've impeached him. They're trying to prevent him from running for office again. I mean, it's got to infuriate the Trump supporters out there. And that's why I'm thinking, JD, that we could be looking at a revolution here, a political revolution, in that this old Republican Party, I think it's just hanging on by a thread. You know, they're playing with fire here in how they treat President Trump. And I'm infuriated that we're even going through this whole process, because I think it's absolutely an outrage.
It is absolutely an outrage. So what is the solution? Let's say, you know, to those out there who are Trump supporters. It doesn't, I don't care if they're Republicans, conservatives, libertarians, Democrats, okay, moderates, you know, far right, far left, doesn't matter. Those people who supported President Trump, what are they to do? Do you think that, you know, two of the options right now are one to try to fix and reform and to go make the Republican Party better, and another camp says, forget the Republican Party altogether, let's start our own party. Which direction do you lean, or do you have an opinion on that at all?
Just a little background. I mean, I'm the former executive director and deputy chairman of the Louisiana Republican Party, and president of the Greater New Orleans Republicans, and been a Republican, grassroots organizer and official for a long time. I'm ready to throw out the Republican Party and start anew, because I just don't think it can be salvaged when you have too many of these rhinos in positions of power. And, you know, look at the Tea Party. I started the largest Tea Party group here in Louisiana, the North Shore Tea Party. And we had thousands of people at events. We had all kinds of folks who were fired up. But unfortunately, our group and so many others got co-opted by these establishment Republicans. And then the people that we sent there in 2010 to shake things up got co-opted, and we didn't have the kind of changes that we were expecting. And we didn't succeed in getting rid of Obama, because in 2012, who was our nominee but a rhino like Mitt Romney? And so then we got rid of the Democrats in the Senate in 2014. And then finally, we had success in 2016 with Donald Trump. But if they don't completely change the way they're dealing with Donald Trump and the Trump supporters, then I am ready to form a new party, whether it be a Patriot Party, or America First Party, a Make America Great Again Party, whatever we want to call it. And I think there are millions of Americans that are feeling the same thing. The feedback I get on my show, JD, 10 to 1, leave the Republican Party versus try to reform it from within. So I think there's a lot of anger toward the Republicans.
10 to 1. That's amazing. I knew it would be high. I had no idea it would be that high. And I actually, you know, my show earlier this morning, the wee early hours of the morning, I said, look, it's a new party without Donald Trump in it cannot succeed, but a new party with Donald Trump in it cannot fail. And I still believe that. I think that's really the bottom line. If President Trump comes on board, supports a new party, and by supports, you know, I did make a mistake this morning, because I said, you know, supports means that he has to lead it. And I started thinking about it. You know what? Let's say he was going to do like a Trump TV, right? And he puts together this new television network and or whatever media outlet, and he gets behind a party. I'm starting to wonder, would that be enough? You know, I know that if he were to say, look, I'm starting a new party, he would have at least 40 to 60, maybe more million people say, yep, we're with you. Mm-hmm. But if he were to not form the party and just to support a third party, put his name behind it, but from afar, from, you know, let's say he gets impeached and he can't run anyway. You get what I'm asking here?
Right. Yeah.
Do you think it would work if he just did it from afar?
You know, the more he is involved, the better chance it would have a success. It might succeed without his active involvement, but I think the more active he is, the more likely it will be to succeed. I think at a minimum, he is going to stay within the Republican Party and try to reform it. And the ultimate might be him just saying, hey, I'm going to form a new party. So all of us out here that are Trump supporters are really, I think, waiting to see what he does, because he needs to be involved in some sort of way for a third party to really work, as you say, either actively behind it or from the sidelines behind it. But he needs to give his support for it. Otherwise, it will not fly. It will not succeed. So I'm hoping he's going to indicate what he wants to do soon. I know he's probably reeling from everything that happened to him. You know, JD had an election stolen from him. We haven't talked about that, but it was stolen. I mean, I have 100% certainty that it was stolen. I know that that is a topic that we cannot discuss. Cumulus has prevented their talk show host from even bringing up that topic anymore. It'll get you banned from social media. You'll get your columns taken down. It is a subject that can no longer be discussed, but it is the truth. He was robbed. He was robbed.
Jeff, we lost or didn't lose. We had our primary, our main YouTube channel this morning was hit with its second strike over just that. And, I went on the air this morning and I said, all right, so we're on a different YouTube channel because we're suspended for like 2 weeks from uploading. And you know what I think about YouTube? I don't care what YouTube does. I don't care what Twitter does. I don't care what Facebook does. This is one of the reasons why we're on with, you know, Freedom First Network. We're expanding out. We're on with Middle America Media, you know, hitting terrestrial television, but in a free speech manner. This is why I've revived my BitChute account. I have started my Brighteon account. I've been on Rumble. You know, we've been uploading Rumble. We've had some videos on Rumble we've had a few videos on Rumble that do better than all of our YouTube videos combined. Okay. The audience will hit, you know, into the hundreds of thousands of views compared to, you know, we were like, oh my gosh, look, we got 30,000 views on our YouTube channel. So as far as not talking about the elephant in the room, the fact that our president had an election stolen, that our voice has been suppressed, you're on the right channel if you want to talk about it. So let's go. Tell me what happened. How was this election stolen? And I guess the biggest question, why do you think it was allowed to be stolen? How was it not stopped?
JD, I believe that the genesis of this was China. I think China hates President Trump. They hated his policies. They wanted a puppet, and they've got, you know, Beijing Biden in there now. So they're very happy. So we had the coronavirus come from China. Whether it was accidentally released from the lab or not, I've got no doubt it came from that lab. I've got no doubt that they withheld information from us about the virus. It hits the United States of America, blows away our economy, harms his chances of re-election. Then we get to a position where we cannot have normal elections because of everyone freaking out about the coronavirus. We have to mail out tens of millions of ballots to people. That is a recipe for incredible fraud. Every time we tried to challenge it, it was rejected. The courts would not cooperate with us. We had out of control governors and out of control judges. I think the Republican Party did not fight some of these changes enough. I think the president was maybe caught a little bit flat-footed in dealing with this because he's got so many threats he's facing simultaneously. And then they stole it from him because I do not think Joe Biden got 81 million votes. No way in hell. I think Donald Trump easily won the popular vote and the Electoral College, and it was taken from him. He tried to fight it. I don't know how well his lawyers did, but at least they were the only ones he could work with, the only ones who would work with him. And none of the judges would even hear the evidence. It all got thrown out. The president gets aggravated and he wants to keep fighting. He goes to Mike Pence, you know, please reject these results, throw it back in the legislature. Pence won't do it. Everybody's up in arms about it. And some people sadly took it too far and went into the Capitol. But there was a lot of Antifa in there and a lot of other people, not just Trump supporters. And then, JD, the whole issue of electoral fraud and the discussion we were supposed to have got completely diverted. We didn't have it. It was swept under the rug. And all they talk about now are censorship and the insurrection, the Trump rioters. And the media has captured the debate once again. And once again, we didn't get to the truth. And once again, President Trump has been totally mistreated. And throw in, of course, the impeachment and possibly the prevention of ever running again, which would be a true outrage. So that's how I see it. And the Republicans didn't even want to fight. You had Josh Hawley, you had Ted Cruz, you had a few of them. But every single Republican in the Congress should have been up in arms about it. But you had people like my own senator, Bill Cassidy, didn't want to hear anything about electoral fraud, and you know, was claiming Joe Biden was the duly elected president, even though he spent the whole campaign running ads with Donald Trump and got elected because Donald Trump supported him. And then the second he got elected, he threw Donald Trump overboard. And I'll never forget that.
No, and I don't think anybody should. Unfortunately, I think you and I are in the minority. I mean, let's face it, okay? The Republican Party, I hate using this analogy because it's a touchy analogy to use, but here's the thing. Many of us, and I'll say us, I'm not a Republican, I'm an independent, but many of us who have been Republicans or who are Republicans or whatever, who are conservatives, we're almost like a beaten spouse in that we get mad and we're like, oh, never again. But then we come right back every time, you know. It's like, we, you know, oh, you guys gave us John McCain, you know, this is an outrage. We want somebody, you know, we're done with you guys. And then, okay, fine. You know, Barack Obama's bad enough. Let's try to beat him. Let's work together, guys, you know. And then, oh my gosh, you guys gave us Romney, you know, we got one win. We got Trump. That was our win. That was it. And they are punishing us all for that win now, not just President Trump, anybody who supported him. They're saying, you guys were wrong. We've been right all along. We're going to prove it to you by making all this stuff up. Okay. Don't get me started on a rant.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. You're 100% right. Yeah, we got Donald Trump. And listen, I celebrate Ronald Reagan, yeah. And I celebrate Donald Trump. And all the things in the middle were disasters to me, marginally better than the Democrats, but nobody I got excited about. And they grew government. They were big state politicians, establishment politicians, all of them. And the only outsiders really to make a difference as president, in my view, have been Reagan and Trump. Unfortunately, Trump has not been allowed to serve his second term, which is what he legally should be entitled to because he won. So now we've got this fraud. We've got this total fraud in the White House, mentally incapacitated, and he's compromised, and he's got very little support. And we're supposed to buy this and accept this for 4 years, JD. This is outrageous.
Well, and that's a perfect segue to the final question I have for you, Jeff. What are we going to do for the next 4 years? I mean, what is your recommendation to Joe and Jane Patriot out there in middle America, or anywhere? I mean, out here in California, but what is your advice to us? How do we survive? How do we fight? Should we fight? Should we start, you know, looking at making sure our passports are in order? I mean, what's the next step, and what's the 4 year plan, in your opinion?
Well, I think we have to see where our leader is going to go. Is he going to stay in the Republican Party? Is he going to form a new party and then get behind that effort? At a very minimum, there needs to be an effort to get rid of the people within the Republican Party who wanted to impeach and put Donald Trump on trial. I think we've got to continue to fight this censorship. We've got to find other alternatives. We've got to keep speaking out. We can't allow these people to shut us up. We can't allow these folks to make us support their agenda. We should give Joe Biden the Trump treatment. So everything he does, we should oppose. He is not my president. I know a lot of people said that about Donald Trump. I think Joe Biden is not my president. I don't want to have healing with Joe Biden. I want to have unity with Joe Biden. I don't want to have anything to do with Joe Biden, because I think he's a corrupt 50-year politician who is a fraud. So another thing I think we should do is to use our economic power and boycott a lot of these entities that have discriminated against us, whether it be Walmart, you know, whether it be Simon & Schuster that won't publish a book from a conservative, whether it be these networks, whether it be social media platforms, And fight back, whether it be Hollywood and these horrible actors and actresses who are so nasty and so insane, and not financially support them. I mean, we're 75 million people. I mean, we can have a lot of economic power if we would use that. So I think there are a lot of things we should do. We should not submit. And we should continue to fight these people with every fiber in our being.
Very, very well said. Jeff Croer, I greatly appreciate you coming on. But more importantly, I would like to talk to you. I'd like to keep this conversation open and moving forward. We have some plans. I want to get your thoughts on American conservative movement, on the new party, on what the next steps are. We are all kind of waiting for Trump to say what he's going to do. But in the meantime, we do have to act. So I would love to get you involved. If you would tell the audience one more time where to find you, what books to buy and websites. I know you said town hall. What else?
Well, JD, let me say this. I'd love to work with you. So definitely stay in touch with me. And yes, I encourage everyone to check out the different things that I have going on, my videos, book, column, shows. You can go to Croer, which is my last name, Croer, Croer.net. And that sort of is a good resource for finding out what I'm doing. And also on these different platforms where I still am. And that's Ringside Politics at Facebook and Jeff Croer at Twitter. And now, as we talked about, just Gab. And every morning, I'm on Real America's Voice for 1 hour, 7 a.m. Central. And then I have a 4 hour radio show on WGSO in New Orleans that people can listen anywhere they are. And our website is WGSO.com. And JD, we have people calling in from all over the country. So it's good to hear from people all over because they have similar views and they have similar issues, similar problems. This is a real countrywide, issue that we need to tackle.
Yes, it is, sir. May God bless you. May God bless the United States of America. Lord willing, we will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you all stay strong, stay safe, and God bless you.